Title of this message is When Satan Comes to Communion. I want to read you the passage in context. We're going to read the Luke part about the institution of the Lord's Supper of communion, and understand its roots in the Seder, which the Jews had celebrated ever since the death angel passed over their homes when they were in bondage in Egypt, and because all those who put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, the death angel passed over them. Hence the name Passover. The three feasts then that were fulfilled by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection were Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And we see those in detail. I want you to put this in context with me today, but I want you to see how Satan tried to get in, how he tried to wreck things. In verse 1, chapter 22, in Luke it says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death." The plot is afoot. "For they were afraid of the people." Why were they afraid of the people? They were afraid what the people would do. The people would follow this young rabbi. They were afraid what was going to happen. They liked their control. They were tipping the hat to the Romans, who were in control of the government, but it was actually the Jews themselves and their leaders that ran the daily life of their existence there. They didn't want anyone to rock the boat for them. And here comes this upstart rabbi who people are saying that he is the Messiah. And man, when you said that word to a Jew, I mean, it was like quicksilver. It was like lightning, that he would be the promised Messiah. Got everyone's attention. And already by this time, he's been traveling throughout the land. So many people are already caught up in this. And it is this Sunday of that what we call Holy Week that he's going to come into Jerusalem. And I read it just a moment ago, having those shouts of Hosanna and all of that. And we see a lot of the gospel message of the four gospels is crammed, a lot of the verbiage of the four gospels is crammed into the events from Sunday to Sunday. A lot is, I don't know the exact percentage, but a lot is there. So a lot is going on. Verse 3. "And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them." Note, this is coming from him. He's providing the idea. "They were glad and agreed to give him money." Imagine how they must have felt. "We don't even have to think up the plot. It's being brought to us." "So he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowd." Now, when Satan comes to communion, we see from the scripture, Satan will only come and possess a willing host. Judas has opened the door wide. We go back and read the verses where he's the one who kept the money bag, by the way. He's the one that had the problem with Mary coming out and anointing Jesus' oil with that expensive perfume and all of that. He said it could have been given to the poor. No, he was probably pilfering the bag himself. He's been on a mission for a long time. But I want you to see the very personal nature of this. This is not a demon that is possessing Judas. This is Satan himself. That's what the Word of God says. Satan is possessing him. So from this point on, you see what the agenda of Satan is. You got it? So we look at some of those things. We see, as he takes control of Judas, number one, he was after Jesus. He was going after the Son of God. Did Satan know who Jesus was? Yes, he did. He knew exactly who he was. And he's doing anything in his power to get him off of his mission as Satan could understand his mission. Now understand this. Satan is not omniscient, nor is he omnipresent. He doesn't know everything. And by the way, he only knows the things that you let him know. He is not co-equal with God. He is a creation of God, so you have to turn it like this. He is under the rule and the authority of God. And when he acts in the earth, he acts at the permission of the Father. That's a tough thing to wrap your mind around, okay? I want you to follow me with this. This is very important. So, he also, we know, he wants to stop Jesus in some way. He doesn't understand how all of this fits together, but he wants to stop Jesus. Now, from this point, Judas comes then to the Seder. See, it would be normal for them, as these Jews, to come and join and celebrate the Passover together with this Seder meal, S-E-D-E-R, Seder meal. Some of you participate in those to this day that commemorate and remember what has happened before. So Jesus was going there, as was his custom. He gives those instructions that I read a moment ago about what they were to do, the room that they were going to celebrate the Seder together. So we want to pick up in verse 14. Now when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, he being Jesus. And the apostles were with him. How many of them were with him? 12, including Judas Iscariot. So who does that also mean has shown up at the Seder? Satan is there. You got a grip on it now? Does that give you a little jolt in your heart? And he said to them, verse 15, I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus knows. He knows what's about to happen. He knows that he is going to lay down his life. They have been warning him for months, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. His family got upset with him. His physical blood, they got upset with him because he was going there, because they knew that a trap was being laid for him, not just by human agency. We see it in this passage by the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They wanted to get rid of him, but also by Satan himself. The great accuser of the brethren has set a trap for him, and it seems like Jesus is just nilly-willy going to walk into Jerusalem and let them catch him. But what is actually happening? The Son of God is choosing his mission. No one murdered him. He willingly gave his life as a ransom for many. They were guilty of murder and guilty of killing him, as we are, because of our sin. But because of that, he willingly gave himself. So he goes into Jerusalem willingly, eyes wide open, knowing that he is about to suffer. And he says to his disciples, and doesn't this say something about how much he loves them? I have earnestly desired to spend this time with you. I want to be with you. You guys that I've walked with now for 3 years, can you see the all God and all man at the same time coming out right now? I want to spend the time with you. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? This isn't going to happen again until he comes back the second time in the millennial kingdom, when he sets up his kingdom on this earth. And that's what we're looking forward to now, as we stand a sandwich between the first and the second coming of Jesus. Verse 17, "And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it with yourselves.'" That's why we have the cup of the new covenant. And it's the third cup of the evening he's talking about, the cup of redemption. Fourth cup will be in the millennial kingdom. Verse 18, he said, "For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine now until the kingdom of God comes." And the kingdom of God is going to come when the king comes. Verse 19, "When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he breaks the bread." It's that unleavened bread, the bread made in haste, the bread that reminded them of their suffering, and as the death angel had passed over, and God had delivered his people, and that being a picture of salvation, of how God would deliver his people, all of us, from their sin. That was just a little down payment early on of God's ultimate purpose for us, was that once centered into the world, there would have to be a sacrifice, and they had given pictures of that sacrifice through the sacrifice of animals. But here in these last days, as it says in the book of Hebrews, that in these last days he has spoken unto us through his Son, the Christ, who would give his life as a ransom for all. And that's what they're on, this pell-mell course. They're headed toward. Jesus is headed toward. Nobody else understands that. Probably the only person in the room at that Seder that would have understood even close to what Jesus understood was Satan, who was sitting there possessing Judas. When he had taken some bread, he broke it and he gave it to them. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, and he said, "This is the cup. This is poured out for you in a new covenant, my blood." The new covenant of Jesus, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 21, "And then he says, 'Behold, the hand of the one who is betraying me is with mine at the table.'" And whose hand is there at the table? Huh? Judas. Who else's hand is there? Satan. Do you see the battle going on? Do you see the battle of the ages that is going on? It truly is a battle of light and darkness. It's a throwdown. It's not a drive-by. Satan is there in his face, daring him. And Jesus calls him out. Jesus exposes Judas, but by exposing Judas, he also exposes Satan. "For indeed, the Son of Man is going as has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed." What's he say? What does Jesus say about that? I'm doing this. I've always chosen to do this. It's not because I've been betrayed by Judas, but Judas is joining in with the enemy. You see the difference? Then something happens. Judas leaves. And you think, well, the problem is averted. Problem is averted, right? Listen to the next part. "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which of them was regarded to be the greatest." That's the disciples. That's the 11 that are left. "And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it's not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest," like the servant, "and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves." What's Jesus foreshadowing? How is he about to fulfill this prophecy about servanthood? What is he about to do? He is about to die on the cross as a suffering servant. Verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I will grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. You'll sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he turns to Peter. Simon Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold. In South Georgia, we'd say, look here now. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Can you think of another place in Scripture where Satan appears before God and demands to go after somebody? Remember? You spent how many months studying it? Right here. Job. So he does it with Peter. He has demanded to sift you. But get, look what Jesus says. Jesus says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And then Jesus says to him, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. So what is Jesus telling Peter? Yes, Peter, you're going to fail me, but my love for you is greater than your failure. Now back up to what he said initially to Peter. What does he say? Satan has demanded. So a second time in this one chapter, we see Satan referred to. And now, yes, he's gone after Judas. He's gone after Peter. How would he know to go after Peter? Who would Peter become? He would become the recognized leader of the church. At Pentecost, he's the one that stood up and preached that great message. And Satan's going after him. Because you see, Satan's not only wants to go after and thwart what's going on now, but what he perceives will be going on. Is Satan who began that argument? As he used their own flesh against one another as who is greatest? And though Satan cannot possess Peter because Peter has Jesus, he possessed Judas because all Judas had with himself, and he came and filled that empty vacuum. He can't possess Peter, but that doesn't mean he doesn't try to exercise control. And that's where you and I come in. Satan tries to do that very same thing. Jesus provides the solution. And at that time, he prays. He says, Peter, I've already been praying for you, son. Has Jesus been praying for you? We know by John 17 and 18 that he has. As he's prayed for us. Though the world didn't even know what our name was going to be, he has been praying for us by name. He's been praying for me, probably not as Dusty, but probably as Mikael, my given Christian name. We come to the Lord's table today, and we celebrate the broken body and the poured out blood of our Lord Jesus. This is a battle that we're in. This is a high and holy time right now. As we say to Satan and all of his angels and the world system, we belong to Jesus. And we do that by this simple act. We're going to open the altar right now. Has God spoken to you? Let me ask you this. Is the evil one messing with your mind? Does he mess with your mind? Anybody? He messes with mine. Pastor Dane and I are going to be here. And if you want to come and pray with us or come to the altar and you get yourself ready to come to the altar. Scripture says, let a man examine himself. Let me make an example. The message that I've preached to you today is a message about the battle. It is a battle for the people around you who do not know Jesus. You must take that battle personally for them. You're the one that God has put in their lives to share the good news with them. They need you. He commanded us to come to His table. But He's also commanded us to examine ourselves. So let's go to Him in prayer and we open the altar. Lord, thank You for Your presence here right now. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never claimed the name of Jesus, may this be the day of salvation. May this be the day when they come to You. Lord, I thank You today that though we all fail, Peter failed, Lord, but yet he belonged to You. Lord, You were there praying for him even before his failure, just like You have been praying for us before ours. But we come in agreement with You today. We come in obedience today as we lay ourselves humbly before You and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart today. The altar is open. Before we come to the Lord's table, would you join me in this prayer together out loud as we pray our Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. This kingdom, the power, bread. Amen. 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 Now, fellows, would you come and join me, those who are going to be serving communion today? On the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, this is My body, which is given for you. And after supper, He took the cup, the third cup of the evening, the cup of redemption. And He said, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sin. It makes Humpty Dumpty be put together again in perfection. And we bless His name. Thank You, Lord, for Your broken body and Your poured out blood. We bless You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably the body of Jesus broken for you. Dane, the body of Jesus broken for you. Anthony, the body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Christ's blood poured out for you, Dane. Blood of Jesus poured out for you. It's not like Jesus is here. He is here. He is here. We invite you to the table. We have two lines. You can come down and if you want to pray some more, then you do that. Come to the table. Celebrate. The body of Jesus broken for you. Christ's body broken for you. Come and dream. Brandon Dane my very special anointing oil that my Jewish doctor that doesn't know Jesus yet gave to me one day that he brought from Jerusalem to give to me. It's very precious to me. I want to make sure it doesn't get pocketed on the way out today. But with all of our folks that are going on the Niger mission beginning this Thursday, would they please come forward at this time? Someone help the high chief up. He's having trouble getting out of his seat. Let's see. Who's a good person to stand in for Gary? All right. This team, there are six from our congregation that are going. The high chief, who is leading the mission, it's the largest one we've ever had, right? Largest group of people. And then there are six others that are going with us, are joining us. And we're going to be over there till Sunday week. We leave Thursday and we'll come back a week from Resurrection Sunday. So we need your prayer. We're going to try to communicate with you through Facebook. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, ask me to friend you this week, okay? And I'll do that. And so you'll get the pictures and videos and all that this week. We're going to try to post, okay? We need your prayers. This is the biggest. We've got the most stuff to do. We're going to try to launch a new church plant while we're over there. And we're probably going to see more patients, wouldn't you say, Dr. O'Carey, than we ever before. And that's saying a lot. We're going to see a lot of patients. And a lot of opportunity to pray. So, Dane's going to anoint us, and then we're going to invite you to come lay hands on us and pray over us. Okay?
All right. As I'm anointing you guys, come on, make your way down here.
There you go, Dave.
Let's hold it over there. Dr. Carey, as you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are gifted and you are called and you are purposeful. James, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are called. You're gifted, and you're on task. Maya, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're called, and you're gifted, and you are merciful. Dusty, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are gifted, and you are called, and you're the leader in the battle. Jonathan, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're gifted, and you're called, and you're generous and kind. And Hope, as you stand in for your dad, as he is in Atlanta serving, anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he is gifted, and he is called, and he is useful in mightier ways than we'll ever imagine for the kingdom of God. So as I begin to pray, I want to remind all of us is this. Dusty has shared eloquently this morning about being in the battle with Satan. We anoint our brothers and sisters, and the ones that are on this team, we're on the team too. We just don't have to leave on Thursday physically. We leave spiritually. And that is not something to be taken lightly. So if you are awoke at 2:00 in the morning and the only words you get is, Dr. O'Carey, you begin to pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Lord, we begin to pray and have been praying, and we join many others that are praying with us for this team. God, the battle, God is mightier than we can grasp, but God, you're mightier than the battle. And Lord, we praise you, and we declare that the sovereignty of God is on their lives and working in and through them. God, these aren't wishes or hopeful things that are going to happen within and through this team. These are things that are certain, that are being declared in heaven and worked out on earth.
Lord.
God, there are healings, there are salvation experiences, there's the establishing of the kingdom of God. And God, the kingdom of God is going forth. You are winning.
Yes,
and so, God, I pray they will use their gifts and their talents. God, I pray they'll use the power of God in the most kind and gentle ways. Mm-hmm. Lord, a word of spoken life. God, just living out Jesus. Lord, I know there are many looking forward to their arrival. God, I pray you'd surprise them and others with their divine appointments, though.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' God, name. We pray for a multiplication right on into eternity of what you're going to do over those 10 days.
God, may they continue what they've been doing from the past.
Yes.
Join what you're doing right now and impact not just the future, but how about the very next moment?
Yes.
God, give them supernatural strength. God, I pray you give them peace, give their families peace. God, we pray you provide a sanctuary over there.
Mm-hmm.
God, you would protect them from the enemy's schemes, plans, thoughts. God, have no place. Lord, we pray, we declare in the name of Jesus, they are the possession of the living God. Mm-hmm. And he would have no place to their families, to them, or to us. We are with you. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. And God, I pray today that they would feel the presence of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Lord, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we bear much fruit in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.